Now, I don't know if you caught the news this week that the New South Wales Presbyterian Church have voted to make a change, a really quite substantial change, to the way they do marriage. They are moving towards withdrawing from the Marriage Act. And so last week, the New South Wales arm of the Presbyterian Church, and of course the Presbyterian Church is the fourth largest religious group in Australia, decided to ask its national branch to take the steps necessary to withdraw from the Marriage Act entirely if same-sex unions are recognised as marriage. Now, John McLean is the convener of the Gospel Society and Culture Committee of the New South Wales Presbyterian Church, and he says there's a growing gap between the classic Christian view on marriage and the attitude of Australian society. And Dr. McLean is on the line. Good evening.
Hi, Dominic. How are you?
Very well indeed. Now, it does sound like a big decision.
Yeah, I think it is a big decision, although, as you said in the introduction, and I'd really like to stress this, it's not a final decision.
Right. So what happens now?
So the next step, at least as the New South Wales Assembly is concerned, is that it'll be considered by the General Assembly of Australia, which is our national body. The same issue will be discussed in some of the other state assemblies as well. So there will be some other discussions take place. And Queensland's already had their discussion, and they are far more cautious about it than we are. So we'll see what happens.
Now, tell me, it wasn't something that just was thought of last week or anything like that. It's been a discussion that's been going on for a while. What have been the factors that have, over the last 18 months or so, led to the denomination making this decision?
I guess, like everybody in Australia, we've been aware that the advocacy for marriage redefinition is strong, and the debates are going on, and it looks likely that there could be something coming to federal parliament in the next few months. And I guess for the last 18 months or 2 years, we've been thinking what we would do if that were to come about.
Mm-hmm.
And the main thing that pushes us towards considering withdrawal is to recognise the huge shift in the definition of marriage that would take place if same-sex marriage were to be introduced.
Right.
So I'd put that against a longer story of redefinition, that the classic Christian view of marriage is that marriage is for a man and a woman, and sex is for marriage, and marriage is for life. That's what Jesus says in Matthew 19. I think that's the consistent teaching of the Bible. And over the last 4 decades, Australian society has really moved a fair way away from that. So there's been a gradual redefinition going on both in Australian law and Australian society, and this would be another but a pretty profound step. And so we ask, on the one hand, what's the positive reason for us remaining involved in a cooperation with the state when we've got very different definitions of marriage? And then wouldn't it be an easier way to make our view of marriage distinct and clear by saying, look, it's now so different from the social and legal definition of marriage that we better to let it stand by itself.
So play it out for me. We've got a young couple in the Presbyterian Church in Sydney who are in love, wanting to get married, that kind of thing. And
yep.
They want to have a church wedding. That still happens in the Presbyterian Church?
I think that will be what will happen. There is no concrete proposal about what form that would take at this stage, partly because we had to wait and see if there was any significant level of interest in taking the step of withdrawing before we kind of got on to doing the mm-hmm. work about what the alternative might be. So at this point, I'm kind of on my own and saying what I'm thinking might happen.
I mean, my suspicion is what would happen is that there'd be a church wedding pretty much the same as it has been, except the minister wouldn't then do the work of filling in the paperwork for the federal government towards the end. So
yeah, and would have to make it clear that this was not service that was being, that it was a solemnisation of marriage under the Marriage Act. The Marriage Act at present has it does make that a crime, or against the law, so we'd have to be careful that we don't.
It's a crime
do
to
that, but I don't think
it's a crime to pretend this is a government wedding.
Correct.
If you like.
That's right. And my understanding is that authorised celebrants already conduct marriages in inverted commas for same-sex couples and simply make it clear that this is not an official act, and the Attorney General's Department briefs them on how to make sure that they don't contravene the act. So I don't think it's difficult to avoid that.
No, it doesn't sound very difficult at all.
So I think a couple would come and they want to get married. We have to say, look, we don't perform marriages under the Marriage Act, and so there's two possibilities. One is you may wish to have a simple civil ceremony first, and in New South Wales that costs about $400 to have a simple ceremony at the registry, and then we'd conduct a church wedding, church marriage. And I suspect that would be our recommended route. But some couples may say, look, we don't want to do that either. And so they may just have a church marriage. And then they would be, at law, be a de facto couple.
Now, that's a very interesting scenario to play out. Because, of course, before God, they would be seen as married in the eyes of God. And so it wouldn't be sin. But in terms of government paperwork, that wouldn't have been completed. And really, in terms of, I suppose you'd say, good order of the society, the government would prefer to have its paperwork neat.
Well, I guess I wonder, when you look at the Family Law Act, whether that's really true. The Family Law Act now treats de facto couples as married couples.
Mm-hmm.
And so the more I've thought about this, the more I've recognised how marriage is really a cultural symbol. And the issues about good order, especially for dealing with marriages when they break down, is dealt with in Australian law almost independent of whether the couple are married under the Marriage Act or not.
Yeah, so see that it would be entirely possible that we could have a generation of young Presbyterians who were married in the sight of God and yet had not done the paperwork with the federal government.
Yep, that could be what happens. Although, as I was saying, I suspect our recommended course may not be that. But one of the reasons I think it's worth considering it is if the church really thinks and comes to the conclusion that this is something that we don't want to be involved in, then we need to recognise there may well be couples who say the same thing. But now, I don't think one doesn't have to necessarily flow from the other. But
I'm just thinking, as a Presbyterian, I mean, you have a role in the Presbyterian Theological College, and Presbyterian ministers come for ordination, potential ministers come for ordination, that kind of thing. The important thing for you would be that people had been married in the eyes of God rather than been married in the eyes of the state before you went on to ordain them as ministers or things like that.
Exactly. So what forms a marriage is two people making promises to each other in the sight of witnesses. It's neither the church nor the government that forms a marriage. It's those promises witnessed by people that is really what forms a marriage, and then it's appropriate for state and church to recognise that.
2CH 1170, Dominic Still, and that was John McLean on the line there. And look, what's your take on all of that? I'd really like to hear from you. John was outlining the decision of the Presbyterian Church of New South Wales, who have voted to ask their national body to consider withdrawing from the Marriage Act if same-sex marriage was to be approved by the Parliament. And look, of course, if they do that, then, as John was saying, there's the possibility of young Presbyterian couples either choosing to marry in church before God and then going along to the registry office, or maybe not going along to the registry office, just choosing to marry before God in church. As John was saying, we have over the last 20 or 30 years as a country really so devalued marriage, or so moved away from Christian marriage, classic Christian marriage is our idea of marriage, that now there are no real legal differences between the de facto couple and the couple who have a registered marriage. What is the value of registering your marriage? And, I mean, what would you do? Perhaps you're a young couple going out at the moment. Do you have a view on this? Perhaps you have Christian children who are considering marriage and they're planning to marry in church. Would you like to see them marry before the government as well? Or is that an irrelevance? 1300 13 1170 is our number.